You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin. And this week's data breaches of the week, I think, is probably the longest one we've ever done. And, you know, I'm sure I've said that on previous occasions, but I can pretty much guarantee you this is the longest one we've done. Now, as you know, my show comes out every 2 weeks or so. It's biweekly. And so usually my breaches of the week is actually about 2 weeks worth of data breaches. And we have had so much go on. Especially supply chain and healthcare and so many different issues that I actually had to categorize it just to keep these things, you know, pretty much separate and understanding where we are here. And so we're going to actually start with healthcare breaches because there have been so many in the United States, including a major supply chain hack that we're going to be talking about here to wrap up that section. But first, we're going to be starting with Arizona. Now, Arizona has something called the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, and they just had more than 3,100 individuals hit when basically they mistakenly sent out IRS forms to the wrong individuals. And so if you're part of the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, your IRS 1095B form may have gone to somebody else. Now, this did not contain your Social Security number, but it does have your name and your birthday on it. So FYI, if you're in Arizona listening to this, you may have a problem with that. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Rush Medical, and this is in Chicago, where I am located, and they have declared a data breach of 45,000 Rush patients, which includes names, addresses, social security numbers, health insurance, etc. Now, here's the interesting thing, and bear with me. Basically, Rush is saying this was a third-party vendor that was basically a billing vendor for them. They inappropriately disclosed this information, like a file with this information, to an unauthorized party in May of last year. And so May 2018 is when Rush said this third-party billing service got them hit. Now, keep that in your head because we're moving to Emerson Hospital in Concord, and they are saying between May 9th and May 17th of 2018, a vendor payment processor basically sent info to an unauthorized third party, which affected over 6,300 patients there. Now, the interesting part is that both of them are claiming a billing processing vendor, but Emerson mentions theirs, and that is Miramed. I'm assuming Miramed Billing or whatever it is. But Rush, I could not get a confirmation that the vendor that got hit for Rush was Miramed, and so here we are. And I think that's rather interesting because I can't confirm that Miramed is also doing it for Rush, but they may very well be. And the dates just line up and the explanations line up and all of that. And so I'm keeping my eye out for any other kind of Miramed data breaches or anybody else that is pointing the finger. And so you might hear a couple weeks from now me talking about Miramed. Now, moving on from there, we're going to be talking about the Bon Secours St. Francis Health System. Now, they have a subsidiary called Milestone Family Medical Center, and these are the ones that got hit. They hit the EHR, or Electronic Health Records System, and basically names, date of birth, social security numbers, etc., got dumped. I do not know the number on that, but if you are part of the Milestone Family Medical Center or the Bon Secours St. Francis Health System, heads up, your information may be out there. And finally, in this section, we're going to be talking about supply chain hacking. Now, basically, if you're not familiar with supply chain hacking, if you work for a business, you're in some kind of supply chain. You're either selling something to somebody or you're buying something from someone. That is your supply chain. And so in this case, we're going to be talking about Wolverine Solutions Group. Now, this is a company that does mailings, or a third-party company that does mailings for over 700 medical facilities, and they just got hit. And personal information for patients of these over 700 medical facilities was basically affected. Now, by virtue of this, what I started seeing pop up was various health organizations declaring a data breach and pointing back to Wolverine Solutions Group. And I won't go through all of them, but two of the bigger ones I found was, one, Michigan Healthcare, just declared a breach of over 600,000 patients and pointed the finger at Wolverine Solutions Group. Again, that's their supply chain. They buy from Wolverine. Wolverine gets their information to do the job, and here we are. And the next one that got hit was Spectrum Health in Lakeland, and they declared 60,000. And so, like Miramed, I'm going to be keeping an eye on Wolverine, because when these companies that cater to the other kinds of companies, like Wolverine catering to medical facilities, now when they get hit, everybody has to declare a data breach. And so we may be in the millions of patients that are directly affected by this. If we have a single one of their clients declaring a breach for 600,000 patients, this is the tip of the iceberg, and we are going to see this evolve, and I will keep you up to date on that. And keeping in healthcare, but moving internationally, which has nothing to do with the United States, we're going to stop at Singapore, and this is our last healthcare breach of the day before we get to the actual healthcare breaches. I mean, or the actual data breaches outside of healthcare, that is. Now, basically, Singapore has something called the Health Sciences Authority, or HSA, and they basically alerted everybody on March 13th, that was a Wednesday, that personal information of over 800,000 blood donors had been accidentally leaked online. Now, they pointed the finger, the HSA pointed the finger at Secure Solutions Group, which is a third-party vendor of theirs that did not adequately safeguard access over the internet to this database and basically exposed it online. So once again, supply chain hit. But it just goes to show you that we have this problem worldwide. And so if you're in Singapore and you are a blood donor, and I do have listeners in Singapore that listen to me on SoundCloud, and thank you guys for doing that, you might want to check with your government on that, because they are obviously aware and looking at that. Now, moving on from there, we have a ton of just data breaches outside of healthcare, and these are all over the map. And so, first ones first, we're going to be talking about Gear Best. Now, you might have seen their advertisements online and in social media. A lot of us have purchased technology, gadgets, and trinkets and stuff from Gear Best. Now, they are saying between March 1st and March 15th that they basically had 280,000 records or users exposed. And the reason being is that one of their security team mistakenly took down one of the firewalls that was protecting this data. So they basically dropped the defenses and exposed 280,000 customers. So if you use Gear Best and shop online with them, heads up. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Citrix. Now, Citrix is a major technology player out of Silicon Valley. They do things like ShareFile and remote access and all of that. A lot of companies use ShareFile for compliance and other things. But according to their official disclosure by their chief information security officer, Stan Black, the company notified the FBI that international cyber criminals accessed Citrix's internal network via a password spraying attack. And so, in other words, they were trying multiple passwords for multiple users and all of that to try to get in, and then attempting to brute force common logins. They eventually did get in. And this is where it gets interesting, because Citrix didn't come out and say this, but a Los Angeles-based cybersecurity research company called ReSecurity basically said that they have more information on this data breach, and they are saying it's anywhere between 6 to 10 terabytes worth of sensitive information. That is an enormous amount of data. Now, they are saying, ReSecurity is saying, this includes email correspondence, files and network shares, like internal to Citrix, and other services used for project management and procurement. In other words, the internal workings of Citrix, to the tune of just a massive amount of data, just got exposed to, you know, God knows who. Nobody's identifying who the hackers are. Is it state sponsored? Is it a rival? Is it, you know, some 15-year-old kid? We don't know. But Citrix has always been a really good and solid company. And so we're going to see where the fallout is here. But, you know, as that goes on, I'll keep you guys up to date. Moving on, we're going to be heading on over to New Zealand. Now, they have an outdoor wear and equipment retailer called Kathmandu, and they basically stated that unknown intruders have gained access to their online trading website for over a month between January 8th and February 12th. And basically, third-party data, third-party information, meaning customer information, may have been captured, such as personal information and payment details entered at checkout. And so if you are in New Zealand and you shop at Kathmandu, heads up on that. And on a complete aside, I would just like to say, that I think my heart, well, I know my heart and probably all of our hearts go out to the victims, you know, of that horrific shooting that New Zealand just went through. And that is awful. Nobody should have to go through that. And unfortunately, we're pretty well versed in America on shootings like this. And it's really sad to see. So New Zealand, we're with you. And for those of you listening in New Zealand and Australia, you know, we consider you friends and allies. And we hope that you guys were able to clear that up. And hopefully no more issues happen there. Moving on, because again, we're going to keep going here. There's a company called verification.io. Now, this is an email platform, and they just suffered a major data breach that compromised around 2 billion records on their network, on their email system. Now, I do not have the numbers or any more information beyond that, but that is being reported, and I think it's being kept pretty close to the chest because that's pretty much all the information I could get. But if you are using verification.io, let's say in your business or personally, heads up on that. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Armor Games. Now, Armor Games had a data breach in January of this year, and they had a whole bunch of data dumped onto the dark web. Now, this data includes public profiles, login data, usernames, email addresses, IP addresses of where you connected from, hashed passwords, which means passwords that are protected by a hash, birthdays of administrator accounts, which is a very interesting field to hit, and information about password protection, including the password salt. Now, what that means is if you have that information on how the password protections are, those hashed passwords become suddenly very exposed because now you know how to basically, for lack of a better term, reverse engineer the password and extract the passwords. And so if you are on Armor Games, heads up on that. You definitely want to change your password right now. Moving on, we're going to be talking about the Orchard View Schools in Muskegon County, Michigan. Now, I found this one to be very interesting and rather funny. Their superintendent, Jim Nielsen, basically said the district found out that they had a data breach in PowerSchool. Now, PowerSchool is a cloud-based tracking system for students. It tracks their attendance and grades and et cetera, and parents have access to this. And they found out that students' attendance and grades had been changed. And so we all know what happened. Some innovative young whippersnapper in that school district decided to break in and change his or her grades and probably the grades of their friends and all of that. And that's probably somebody, quite frankly, I'm going to want to hire in 5 years. But that is essentially it. And so we no longer have to intercept the postcards or the report cards when they come home and change the grades from F's to A's. We can just break in online and bump our grades up a little bit. But they're aware of it, and I'm sure they're rolling back the grades for the students, and I'm sure he or she is probably in some serious trouble, and I'm sure it is going on their permanent record because that is always, always the threat. And with that, I've got one more update for you, and then we are done with Breaches of the Week. We're going to be talking about Landmark White. Now, I mentioned them, I believe, in my last radio show, and this was basically a major problem for essentially Australia. Like the whole country. Now, this is an Australian valuation firm that was used by virtually every major bank and a lot of the small ones in Australia, and they had a data breach. And now I mentioned this again, I believe, last time on air. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we are now starting to find Landmark White data in the dark web for sale. Some of it publicly available, some of it for sale, but the hackers wasted basically no time getting that out there. So Landmark White, Australian for national disaster. And those are your breaches of the week. Were you affected? I'd love to know. And let's move on. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin. And this week's deep dive is about basically America being under attack. And if we actually are, because I think there's a lot of compelling evidence to say that somebody is hitting us and probing us in a way that we're not necessarily picking up on, or it's not really being made public and it's not being talked about in the news, but we have had a lot of disparate outages and kind of not data breaches, but basically loss of connection, loss of connectivity from some major providers and platforms. And I think that it seems like we're ramping this up. And so let me lay out the evidence for you here. And I think you guys are going to find this interesting. And so basically last week, from when I'm recording this would be the week of March 11th, 2019, we had a series of major outages by some huge providers that either provide infrastructure and connectivity or communication platforms for us that millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans use. And so on Tuesday, Verizon had a serious outage that basically stopped all text messages from sending and receiving. They were able to fix that the same day, but that literally went out due to a glitch. At least that's what they're claiming. Like, this is an issue here. Now, Tuesday evening, Google entities Gmail and YouTube had an outage as well. So now, on the heels of Verizon going out under a quote-unquote glitch, now Gmail and YouTube, which are literally used by hundreds of millions of people in North America, not to mention billions in the world, just went out. And Google was able to re-fix it, bring it back online, whatever they had to do. Now, Wednesday, Facebook and Instagram went out and had trouble for about 24 hours. Again, another massive platform that is used by hundreds of millions of Americans, billions worldwide on both of those. And between Tuesday and Wednesday, Spectrum, which is one of the largest internet service providers in the United States, had severe outages as well. That takes us into Thursday, and then Apple's iCloud went out. Their contacts, Apple Drive and iMail, all suffered outages, and by Friday, Apple was able to get them, up. Now, taken individually, these companies came out and said, okay, well, Facebook came out and said, well, we did not have some kind of denial of service attack. Don't necessarily know if I 100% believe that, but there are other ways to hack in and cause malfeasance. The thing is that these companies have a ton of redundancies. They have a ton of checks, when they're doing software updates so that, you're not knocking out everything. If you've got a bad update, they have tons of redundancies. So it's not like, at home, if your Comcast internet line goes out or your AT&T internet line goes out, you're out. They have multiple fiber connections from multiple, organizations, multiple routing. I mean, it's very hard to knock one of these out. And we just saw a week of Verizon, Google, Facebook, Apple, and Spectrum go out. And I think that's more than a coincidence, although I have to, given all available evidence, kind of lean coincidence. But if I'm looking at this week, the week of March 18th as well, at the top 10 outages at the moment, Spectrum still is reporting, Instagram is still reporting, Verizon, Facebook, AT&T, Comcast, YouTube, and Hulu. All of those, plus FanDuel, which I think is a fan gambling site, and Call of Duty, which is a game. Those are the major outages for this week on Down Detector. And if you're looking at that, we're looking at internet provider, major communications platform, internet provider, major communications platform, internet provider, major communications platform, and television platform. And so that is very scary. Now, it's interesting because about a few years ago in 2016 or so, an article came out that I think was very interesting and laid a lot of stuff out that basically postulates that we know somebody is probing the internet. We know that somebody is probing U.S. infrastructure to see where it's weak. And I'm going to quote from some of this article, but we've basically known since about 2014 or 15 that somebody has been probing the internet in the United States. And I quote, Someone has been probing the defenses of companies that run critical pieces of the internet. These probes take the form of precisely calibrated attacks designed to determine exactly how well these companies can defend themselves and what would be required to take them down. We don't know who is doing this, but it feels like a large nation state. So this could be China, this could be Russia, and all of that. I go on to continue to quote this article, quote, Recently, some of the major companies that provide the basic infrastructure that makes the internet work have seen an increase in DDoS, that's directed denial of service attacks, against them. Moreover, they have seen a certain profile of attacks. These attacks are significantly larger than the ones they're used to seeing. They last longer, they're more sophisticated, and they look like probing. One week, the attack would start at a particular level of attack and slowly ramp up before stopping. The next week, it would start at that higher point and continue, and so on, along those lines, as if the attackers were looking for an exact point of failure. The attacks are also configured in such a way as to see what the company's total defenses are. There are many different ways to launch a DDoS attack. The more attack vectors you employ simultaneously, the more different the defenses the defender has to counter with. These companies are seeing more attacks using three or four different vectors. This means that the companies have to use everything they've got to defend themselves. They can't hold anything back. They're forced to demonstrate their defense capabilities for the attacker. And so, in other words, you're getting probed, you're getting basically your network probed, and you're getting attacked from basically a very low level attack, and it continues to ramp up in expertise and capability until you basically are shutting the network down or you're able to get through. And that is essentially, they're identifying the level of what's going on. That's a very scary thing, and that is from literally almost 3 years ago. And we know that this has been going on for about 5 years. But recently, in the last, let's say, 6 months to a year, we have started to see a vast increase, and not just in data breaches and leaks, which, you know, could very well be state sponsored as well, intellectual property theft, or it could just simply be hackers trying to steal information for money, but these specific critical points that bind us together. So, for example, a lot of internet service providers essentially have a monopoly in their area, especially when it comes to wired connectivity. I have two internet service providers in my area for my home, for example, AT&T and Comcast. And so let's say the majority of my neighborhood is on Comcast, which I believe they are. If Comcast goes out, we can't get to the internet. Like, we literally are just, all the computers in the house, all the TVs, everything can't go out. And if Comcast is being probed and AT&T is being probed, and literally both of those two are on the top 10 outage report list for the week, according to Down Detector, which is one of the websites that a lot of IT and technology professionals use to see what is up and down in their area, that's a serious problem. We also know that we have seen the attacks step up, and I literally did a deep dive on this and wrote an article on it about, can the U.S. government cyber defense survive another government shutdown? When nobody is watching the store, the attacks ramped up. And so we had a massive amount of infrastructure attacks against the U.S. government when the government was shut down, because nobody's basically watching the barn. And I'm not necessarily talking about the FBI or the NSA or anything like that, but when you've got, let's say, the Department of Housing and Urban Development shut down, or Commerce, or, you know, whatever, that nobody's reporting and nobody is watching to make sure that things are patched and the firewalls are not under attack, then we have things like DNS hijacking. We have attacks happening. And so we know that's happening, and we know that's escalating. And we also know that we've been in a bit of a trade war with China, and we've also started to escalate the rhetoric between basically coming in and saying, hey, we're not going to hack you if you don't hack us, and the Chinese have agreed, but then continue to do that. We've actually had multiple agreements on this, but we've also caught them red-handed. And if we are looking at the number one problem that we have in terms of theft in the United States, or excuse me, theft in the globe, it is intellectual property of U.S. corporations basically being targeted and exfiltrated to data, to China. That is the number one threat that we have right now. That is the number one money-making scheme. When we are looking at the greatest wealth transfer in history, in other words, hackers are stealing over $6 billion from us by 2021, the number one category is U.S. intellectual property being transferred to China. And so you can't say that this stuff isn't happening, because it is. And when we're looking at something like the week of March 11th, where we are literally having just communication platforms go down, disparate to each other. It's not like they're all sharing one server or one data center. They're across a zillion data centers and a zillion internet connections, and they're compartmentalized to ensure that, that if one thing goes down, it's not going to break everything. And here we are, Facebook going out, Google going out, Apple going out, infrastructure like Verizon and Spectrum going out. That's something that we have to consider. And now it could be coincidence. This is all the evidence that I've just presented to you here. I'll let you make up your own mind on this. But I think it seems kind of obvious that there may be something more at play here, because there's been something at play for years now. And we've seen this, and companies have seen this that are defending themselves. The internet service providers are the ones that are, you know, talking to cybersecurity researchers saying, we are seeing attacks in the scope and depth that we have never seen before. And that's a serious problem. And so what do we do about this? Where do we go from here? How do we ramp this up? Now, one of the ways that we ramp this up is we make sure that we make sure that our corporations, the companies here, are continuously ramping up their own cyber defense, that they're using the best of the best when it comes to threat detection technologies, that they are even more vigilant than they have been, that they are ramping up awareness and training, but we also have to make sure that we are continuing to increase in scope and capability our cybersecurity frameworks or cyber defense frameworks. Earlier in the news section, you probably heard me talk about the defunding of NIST. That is a major problem, because when we're looking at this, if that cybersecurity framework stops becoming a living document and dies, they're going to innovate around us. And so we have to make sure that we are continuing to push that forward as well as adopt new frameworks. I recently joined the IoT Security Institute as a contributor and advisor, and I do that because I believe in the mission. I believe that we have a problem with IoT development. It's an easy way to get hit. And so if we can wrap a public framework around that to not just defend, like the Wi-Fi in your home or your smart toaster, but entire cities that are built with IoT or buildings, that's where we're at. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time. And I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.